Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My talkers, we are hanging out with Lori on the most productive day of the week, and we've got a special guest host with us today. Chris Hewitt from the Star Tribune is here to bring us into the night of the Golden Globes. We are excited. Thank you, Chris.
Chris, thank you so much for filling in for Julia today. It's kind of perfect timing.
It is perfect timing. You know, I just realized as I was listening to the suburbs, I have a Pavlovian response to them now.
What
I hear
them,
I'm like, I get to see Lori and Julia.
Yeah. I know, that's so fun. But thank you for coming in today. We've got a lot to talk about with the weirdest twist we've ever seen in an award show, that the Golden Globes has gone from being a favorite award show to practically not welcome and now airing tonight on a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
I mean, but there's a lot of movie stuff to talk about, but I do want to let people know that we are going to be giving away, we're going to have finished the lyric for, we've got tickets to give away before they even go on sale to the Billy Joel Stevie Nicks double concert bill at U.S. Bank Stadium on November 10th.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting.
And the tickets go on sale on Friday. So you're going to have a chance to win tickets before they're even available. And so that's kind of exciting to have these tickets to give away. And then we also have a pair of tickets to give away for a Wild game at some point today.
Absolutely.
I've seen both Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks separately.
Separately, same. I think that's like a great
two for one
concert kind of a situation.
Yeah, I would say their audiences are very complimentary.
Yeah, and then you're going to Hairspray tonight. Is that opening down at the Orpheum?
It is, yep, tonight through Sunday.
And what are your expectations? What do you know about the show? I mean, it's a great show.
It's a great show. I've seen it a bunch of times. I saw it actually on Broadway with Harvey Fierstein.
Oh, you did?
Yep. And then I saw the first tour that came through here, and I saw it at Chanhassen, and all three of them were fantastic. So I'm kind of guessing it's going to be fantastic. And Nina West from RuPaul's Drag Race is now playing Tracy Turnblad's mother, Edna, the Harvey Fierstein role.
Yes.
And I don't really know Nina West, but I'm excited to see them in the part. I think Andrew Levitt is Nina West's alter ego.
Okay. I love that show. I love the movies.
It's such a great story. Those songs are amazing. You cannot stop tapping your toe throughout the whole 2.5 hours.
Yeah. And if you've never seen the original Hairspray, the original John Waters movie, that is hysterical.
It kind of works in every iteration. The movie version with John Travolta is also really well done, I think.
It is.
So he created a sturdy vehicle that has weathered a lot of different twists and turns.
Yes, he really has, that John Waters. He's quite a character. We had him on last year for his book.
I interviewed him a long time ago. Actually, he was here for a different book tour. And he's, really fun to talk to.
Yes, he was.
Because to say anything, but also really hard to interview, at least for a newspaper audience, because he said so many things that I couldn't use in the newspaper.
Yeah, he's not printable.
Yeah, he definitely was not. I kept hearing in the back of my head the editor of the, this was at the Pioneer Press when I was there, who would say, well, you got to remember, Chris, that people read us over breakfast in the morning. And I'm like, I don't know if they want to hear about John Waters' sexual exploits over breakfast in the morning.
Yeah. Now, you cover both movies and some shows in town. You have like a dual critic role.
For the Star Tribune? Yeah. Yes. I think I know everything about everything, apparently.
Yeah, right. I love it. So will this review be in tomorrow's?
It's going to be online tomorrow. I think it will be in the actual paper on Friday, I think. That might still be up in the air. But yeah, we'll get it in as soon as they can get it in anyway. And I am very excited to see the show. It's a really fun, happy, makes you feel good about humanity show.
Perfect time of the year for this show to be coming through in the depths of January, which, you know, normally this week and next week are our two coldest weeks. And according to Ken Barlow, we have like 2 weeks of unseasonable 30-degree weather, which does feel warm after the bitter cold, you know?
I'm just hoping some of this stuff will melt because there's nowhere to put it. I know everybody else has the same complaint, but I was talking to my garbage morning who I have, or recycling person who I happens to be there when he came today. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, people don't know where to put them out for us because there's nowhere to go.
Yeah, the same situation. I was up in Duluth last weekend and they get dumped out. They got like two dumpings. They got like 20 inches and then they got like another 10. I mean, it is the snow banks at the Miller Hill Mall could now be small ski hills.
Yes, bunny hills.
They're so big. I mean, they're so.
Take your kids sledding there for sure.
Yeah, they're so, so high. I didn't get a chance to finish this morning, but the finale on Showtime of George and Tammy was Sunday night. And it's just a six, you know, episode miniseries about the tragic love life of George Jones and Tammy Wynette. And I do love these biopics, but the thing about this show that is, it like supersedes or transcends the relentlessly depressing story that these two both have, is that Jessica Chastain and Michael Shannon are acting their behinds off, and they're both singing for real and sound just like those singers.
That's crazy, but I believe it. They're both fantastic.
Yeah.
And those songs, too, you know, it just popped into my head. I have never really been a country music fan, but a few years ago, some friends and I went to Nashville and went to the Country Music Museum and Hall of Fame.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, I love that place. It's fantastic.
So do I. It's so good.
And I don't even care about country music.
Yeah.
But there are these stands where they have little stories about different songwriters, more songwriters than singers, mm-hmm. although in some cases they're both. And you can listen to songs. And I kept listening to songs and being like, wow, that's a really great song. Who wrote it? George Jones. It would be like He Stopped Loving Her Today, Good Year for the Roses, all these fantastic songs. He's
right.
An amazing songwriter.
And they show when he had the hardest time recording He Stopped Loving Her Today, because that song was basically about Tammy Wynette. Sure. And he kept trying to record it and he kept just getting drunk and not being able to record it. And this producer, who's the guy who was very key with George Jones' success, he gets Tammy Wynette. Now they've been divorced. She's remarried, to come in and watch him while he sings He Stopped Loving Her Today, and they did it in one take. And This is all from Georgette Jones's book, Tammy and George. That's the source material. So it's kind of got little nuggets like that. So I would say, you know, if you have a Showtime and you like a biopic about, you know, people who might have a tragic life, but George and Tammy is good, and I fully expect that Jessica Chastain and Michael Shannon will be nominated for Emmys next year, because they are on a roll, these two actors, and they're so good in this.
I'm always fascinated, too, by songwriters, and like you mentioned Billy Joel a minute ago, so he writes Always on Always a Woman about his first wife, Elizabeth. He's now several wives separated from her, but he's still doing that song. Like, are you still thinking about the person you wrote it about it when you sing it 40 years later? Or
you'll have to ask Billy Joel if you get a chance to interview him before he comes here. If John Green doesn't beat you to it.
Stevie Nicks, who are you standing back from now?
Right, that's right. All right, listen, when we come back, we are not mad how hard Austin Butler is leaning in to his Elvis Presley Oscar campaign. And last night he was on Jimmy Kimmel, just giving us everything. We've just got a little sound bite for you when we come back. It's our story we can't get enough of. Hey everybody, it's Lori here for First Equity Mortgage. I just asked Chris if he'd use First Equity, and you did use First Equity, didn't you?
I did. I refinanced a few years after I bought my house.
Yeah.
This is back in the mid-aughts, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, they're so easy and great to work with, David and that whole team.
He was the greatest. He came over to my house. I feel like he was there an hour. We were done. Everything went smoothly. It was great.
Yeah, and that is the experience that people have. Leah and Levi sent us a testimony about Nick, about he was exceptional to work with, his knowledge, level of communication, and ability to produce the most competitive financing, along with his communication to the listing agent, helped us secure our home in a highly competitive market. So that was earlier this year, last year. We would highly recommend Nick and First Equity to everyone we know. Thank you so much. Give email to David, my talk, keyword David. Oh, Austin. Leaning in to the Elvis campaign on SNL a few weeks ago. That was the goodbye to Cecily Strong. That was a great goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Very moved by it, too.
Yes. So, Austin, leaning as hard as he possibly can, all 6 feet, 2 inches of him. He shows up on Kimmel last night for not one, but two segments. He's dressed like Elvis. He's got a sheer, I can only call it, only Elvis and Prince were men who really were comfortable wearing blouses. Yes. It's a sheer blouse that's unbuttoned mid-chest. Uh-huh. And then the black fitted jacket, the slim cut pant with just a bit of a flare, and then the half boot. And then rings on his fingers, and I mean, he just looked beautiful. The women were crying and screaming in the Kimmel audience.
Whoa.
As Austin, who played Elvis.
Is he in danger of never being castable as anything else?
Ooh. No, I don't think so, because A, you know, he's been acting since he was 12. Mm-hmm. And it's take, you know, he's transitioned from being a Nickelodeon kid, the CW, you know, Quentin Tarantino cast him. He was Tex Watson in a small part in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And he was on Broadway like 4 years ago, The Iceman Cometh with Denzel. And I think he just finished Dune. I think his career is on fire.
Okay.
And I think he's enough of a chameleon. It is hard to believe, like, how much he looks, sounds, acts, embodies Elvis. I mean, even how he was holding his hands last night on Kimmel was very Elvis. Tonight, he's going to the Golden Globes. He's not bringing his girlfriend, Kaia Gerber, who's 20, to his 31. His publicist said no. He's bringing his sister. So, I mean, the publicist, they're really, you know, making space, because tomorrow the Screen Actor Guild nominations come out.
Yep.
Tonight's the Golden Globe. So he's already nominated for a Critics' Choice, which is next Sunday. So, I mean, they've just got him. He's in the lane to strike.
I just feel like at some point we need to take off those blue suede shoes, Austin.
Yes, he definitely.
Maybe at the end of this awards run.
Yes, he's going to keep it on all the way through. Keep dressing like Elvis. Here he is talking about, I thought, how many stories, you know, can we hear? Because like, did you hear about how his audition? Because it was going to be Harry Styles or Miles Teller.
Yeah,
according
I had heard
to
that.
Baz Luhrmann. And then Denzel cold called him Baz. They'd never worked together, but Denzel, he's like the godfather in Hollywood, called Baz and said, you're going to get a audition tape, and it's from this young man I'm doing a play with. He's incredible actor and very dedicated. I just want to know that you're going to watch that. And Baz was like, can't believe Denzel's calling me. And I heard this on a, you know, Elvis Live from Graceland panel that they had earlier this summer. And he did, and it was Austin Butler singing Unchained Melody, which was a favorite cover of Elvis. And Austin got himself to cry because he thought about his mom, who died when he was 23. Elvis is, you know, he was 23 when his mom died. So Baz was very taken with that. And then Harry who? Miles who? It was Austin's job. But here's Austin Butler talking about basically, you know, one of his Oscar storylines is, you know, the preparation to play Elvis, because Baz Luhrmann, they didn't have the rights to do any early Elvis music. Colonel Tom Parker signed away all the early 50s RCA stuff. Uh-huh. So they couldn't use Elvis's voice. They needed someone who could.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC.
We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Could sing, sound like Elvis, those recordings from the 50s. And so one of Austin's, you know, storylines that he tells in all these interviews is all the ways that he dedicated himself to becoming Elvis Presley. So here we go.
One thing was also his laughter. You know, how does he laugh? And so I made a compilation of his laughter. And when I was finally able to leave the apartment, I lived right on the beach in Australia, and I'd walk down the beach for hours with a headphone and laughing as Elvis. So it looked like this man just absolutely out of his mind. There was, you know, surfers are looking at me going, what's happening here? But that was my life.
And after all that studying, how does Elvis laugh?
Well, I mean, many different ways, but one thing that he would do is he would do this ingressive laugh, which is like, I don't know, I haven't done that in a long time, but it was like, that little suck in that you get. He did that a lot. One thing.
How about that? I mean, do you see the dedication to letting us know he's playing Elvis? I'm not mad at it, Kris.
Well, and the other thing is, because of the Tom Hanks COVID, he had a lot of time to be working on that ingressive, if that's a word, laugh. Because they had, what, like a 9-month delay?
Yes. Well, yeah. He didn't see his family for like almost 3 years.
Egad.
I know it. But, you know, he really, and even in these interviews, he's giving us Elvis.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what Austin Butler's voice sounds like because he doesn't seem to use it anymore.
Yeah. So, anyway, I can't wait to see him walk the red carpet with his sister. And I am expecting Austin Butler to win the Best Actor for Golden Globes tonight.
In a musical or comedy.
Musical or comedy.
Yeah, it helps that they have those separate categories.
Yeah. I mean, don't you think it's a no-brainer for like the Golden Globes? They love a biopic.
And a musical.
And they love a musical. And they love Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Yeah. I can't remember who else is in that category, but yeah, I think you're right.
But I mean, burying his bronze chest. Did we post this, Grant?
We did, yes. So you can go check the play. And like you said, he's got the look, and even just the way he rubs his hand on his chin a little bit. He's just got all the mannerisms going, and he's doing the tour very well.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, in a black unbuttoned blouse to the middle of his chest. So Prince.
He had a good tan going, too.
Well, he was in Cabo last weekend explaining to his girlfriend, Kaya Gerber, why she couldn't go to the Golden Globes.
And I'm taking my sister instead.
Yeah. But, he is just a real good-looking man.
He's a snack and a half for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those of us that have followed his career have loved him since he was Skylar, Carrie Bradshaw's boyfriend on the Carrie Diaries on the good old CW. Sadly, a show that was canceled after just 2 short seasons.
Well, it made him free to go on to bigger and better things.
Yeah. So anyway, and then do you know what someone means when they call Baz Luhrmann, when he calls his 3 films the Red Curtain Trilogy?
Yes.
What is it?
Well, theatrical, essentially. In fact, some of them, Moulin Rouge opens with, I think, a red velvet curtain.
Strictly Ballroom?
Strictly Ballroom, Moulin Rouge.
And maybe Romeo and Juliet would be the other red curtain.
I guess that's the other one, yeah.
Because people are wondering if with the Elvis movie, Baz Luhrmann is entering his Blue Curtain trilogy.
Oh. Ah, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
So, I don't know. He didn't really have anything to say when somebody asked him about if it was his Blue Curtain trilogy, because I don't think he wants to commit to anything at this point.
Well, and he throws so much into each of those movies that it seems like it's usually about 7 or 8 years in between projects for him anyway.
Yeah. And the costuming in that movie was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're always epics. I mean, even the ones that kind of bomb, like that Australia movie.
There was still a lot had going the on. Epic shower scene with Hugh Jackman on the Outback. I'll never forget that scene. I don't know anything else about that movie, but that was
that's all an, you need to know.
Yeah, that's an epic scene. All right, listen. We come back. We're going to talk Golden Globes when we come back. In the meantime, we have posted the 50 most unforgettable Golden Globes fashion. If you want to take a look, it's a very fun trip down fashion memory lane. All right, what's happening on traffic lane?
Absolutely. And before we get to that, ingressive sound in phonetics means it sounds by which an airstream flows inward through the mouth or nose. So he was using that word properly.
He's using million-dollar words on the march to Oscar.
Very, very well played by Austin Butler.
Hey everybody, it's Lori here for Hammernix Interior Solutions. They're celebrating 75 years in business. And know this about Hammernix, family owned, is they have the largest in-stock selection of 100% waterproof luxury vinyl tile and plank flooring in Minnesota. And you'll always receive an immediate 12% off your in-stock purchase. And they've got just such a huge selection. They also have, if you're just looking, you know, for maybe you've got small commercial space or you've got some, you know, a basement or a family room where you just need some carpet cut for it. They've got lots of remnant carpet that they can cut to size. And that is really a good deal. They've got two locations in St. Paul, Rice Street, their original location, where there's a flooring superstore in the design center. And also right off of 169 and Bass Lake Road in New Hope. That's Hammernix Interior Solutions.
Are you or a loved one?
Well, that music is for you, Chris Hewitt, critic for the Star Tribune, covering movies and some shows. And tonight is the Golden Globes, airing on a Tuesday night. That's right. This follows a scandal about the lack of diversity within the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, alongside a different scandal about basically how you could bribe your way to a Golden Globe.
And don't forget the misogyny.
The lack. Yeah, the award show was not televised last year. NBC, the longtime home, ended a contract that would have seen the Globe stay on NBC until 2027. They gave notice to Dick Clark Productions, and tonight is the last, unless something happens and it ends up being, you know, a ratings bonanza of some sort.
You really planted a thought in my head about what that could even be on a Tuesday night ratings bonanza with Jared Carmichael. Yeah. Unless, as we were saying earlier, somebody slaps somebody, I can't quite imagine what it's going to be.
I know, and mostly we didn't get it on Sunday night because NBC is the proud owner of Sunday Night Football.
Right.
And the only program that reliably brings in viewers.
NBC wanted to make sure the Green Bay Packers losing the playoff spot was on.
That's right.
Right, they did.
They are not going to give up their cash cow to air this. And so the show has been mired in controversy for 3 years.
And on top of that, ratings have been going down for award shows for years anyway.
Which I'm just crushed because I still love an award show.
Yeah, I kind of wonder at some point if a lot of them are going to get booted off of broadcast TV anyway and sent somewhere more specialized, like the Tony Awards.
I don't like that idea, no, Chris, at
either.
All.
I don't know.
I really don't. I mean, I guess they asked, according to Matthew Bologna, he reported and he writes for Puck. He's in PUCK News, that Jamie Foxx was offered the hosting, Chris Rock was offered the hosting, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler were asked, and Ricky Gervais was also asked, and then they landed on stand-up comic and Emmy Award-winning actor Jared Carmichael. And he told Jimmy Fallon that one of his ideas for a promo spot was a joke about how when he goes downtown, in a sexual sense, he looks like Viola Davis in an emotional scene. And NBC said, you can't run that promo.
I love it.
So he's more than willing to push the envelope, but we'll see what NBC lets him do, and I don't know if the Hollywood Foreign Press, you know, if they have a say, but I don't think he's a big enough star to get people just to tune into that. So I've been telling everyone all day that I've been running. Don't forget the Golden Globes is tonight. My hair, Jasmine's like, they are on a Tuesday? So it's not looking good, Chris.
No, and nobody's going to go. I mean, none
well,
of
Well, Eddie Murphy and Ryan Murphy are being honored. Okay, I know
fine.
It. I know it.
The Murphys are there.
Brad Pitt and Steven Spielberg will be in attendance. Austin Butler will be there. They don't. Jennifer Coolidge is a presenter. A lot of NBC shows, you know, they'll be presenting.
I'm not hearing your Nicole Kidmans or your Cate Blanchett's.
And you know why? Because the damn Critics' Choice, which is on Sunday, upcoming Sunday, on the CW, Chelsea Handler hosting, they have. Like all the A-listers decided, I guess their publicists decided, we're not sure about the Golden Globes. Yes, you're going to present at the Critics' Choice.
Which has not routinely been like a place that stars flock to.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's because Golden Globes is, you know, kryptonite a little bit.
Well, and also, kind of, you know, we were talking earlier about with the Golden Globes fashion that it's basically every star who's on the awards circuit. Second favorite dress, or maybe third favorite. Yeah. Maybe they pick their second favorite for the SAG Awards. But probably that's what publicists are telling their stars, too, is, you know, if you go to the Golden Globes, you're going to look like grade C level stars. You know, Kathy Griffin-ish
territory. Yeah. I mean, I looked at, like, Grant posted the 50 most fashionable moments. Globes, this is their 79th year.
Okay, so there's some history.
And I was looking at it, and we've had some fabulous fashion moments at the Golden Globes.
People maybe take more risks at the Golden Globes,
maybe,
fashion-wise, right?
Like Angelina Jolie was in Versace, a white and red one, kind of a dual one. But there's also the picture of her in her first Golden Globes for Girl Interrupted, also in Versace. Jumping in the pool in that same dress at the Beverly Hilton that night because she won. There's, you know, Blake Lively, Reese Witherspoon, Beyonce in this beautiful Ellie Saab gold gown the year she was in Dreamgirls.
Oh, right.
And, you know, Sarah Jessica Parker, you know, because the Globes, it's the mix of the TV and the movie. So there was, it was very fun looking at the fashion. Audrey Hepburn in 1980 got the Cecil B. DeMille Award. And when I looked at the photo of her, I just thought, look at that. In 1980, people were not whitening their teeth. You never see anybody with natural teeth in Hollywood anymore. But in the photo of Joan Collins in 1983 winning the first time for Dynasty and Audrey Hepburn, I'm like, look at that. Just regular old teeth.
Just regular
with a bigger bit of yellow, coffee like, stain.
Like my hygienist who's about to push whitening, looking at my mouth and saying, oh, are you a tea drinker or a coffee drinker?
Yeah, right. I know. Thanks. You're like, thanks.
So, no, thank you.
Anyway, well, that's posted for you. Do you have, if I were to give you best picture, best most motion picture drama, and you are voting, it's Avatar, Elvis, The Fabelmans, Tar, and Top Gun. So Elvis is in the drama category.
Yeah, that doesn't make much sense.
And best picture musical or comedy, The Flippin' Banshees of Inisherin are in that category.
I mean, it's kind of funny. Yeah, their categories have always been a mess. Remember when The Martian was billed as a comedy for some reason? Yeah. And that wasn't funny. So,
well, do you have any predictions? Okay, so let's have you give me a prediction for the drama category, Chris.
I mean, it is hard to predict what those 80 crazy foreign journalists are going to pick, but I would say maybe The Fabelmans. I think that's probably the current Oscar frontrunner now anyway.
I don't agree with that.
Whoa, that was very vituperative, too.
I know.
What's going on over there?
I just think it was a solid B movie.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's that great either, but it does seem like Hollywood loves it. And it's about movie making and it's Steven Spielberg. I don't know.
All right. For musical or comedy, Babylon, The Banshees, Everything Everywhere at Once, Triangle of Sadness, or Glass Onion.
Well, either Banshees or Everything Everywhere at Once. It does seem like Banshees is kind of on the awards tour, though. Mm-hmm. I would choose Everything Everywhere at Once. That movie is bonkers, and Michelle Yeoh is amazing.
Yeah. And Banshees, did you like that?
I did. I didn't love it. I think it's good for what it does. And I do think Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson are both pretty fantastic in it. But yeah.
All right. Let me see if I can get any other good picks out of you. Austin Butler is best actor in the motion picture drama going up against Brendan Fraser, the whale. They're not going to vote for him.
For Brendan Fraser?
No.
Because of the fact that he's boycotting the ceremony?
Yeah.
Unless they want to show how big they are.
Maybe.
But I think it's Colin Farrell probably there.
He's not even nominated.
What the?
Hugh Jackman for The Son, Bill Nighy for Living, and Jeremy Pope for The Inspection. Let's just give it to Austin Butler.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, that's who we want to win. Maybe, thank you. Yeah, I don't see, Brendan Gleeson is nominated for Best Supporting Actor in Banshees, and a guy named Barry Keoghan for Banshees.
Oh, wait, Colin Farrell must be nominated in the comedy category.
Yes.
The musical or comedy category.
Yes, he is.
Okay, so that's why.
That Banshees is not a comedy.
No, it has a couple of funny moments, but people's hands get cut off. I mean, it is not a comedy.
Yeah, I've been waiting to not spoil that for people, but when Casey told me he wanted to watch that last week, I said, I know about something that happens to Brendan Gleeson. He basically cuts off his nose to spite his face, and Casey goes, don't ruin it for me. And then he watched the movie, and he goes, I hated that movie so much.
I think it's when it helps to kind of know what to expect going into, because, yeah, it does take some turns.
Yeah, I don't want to see you anymore. So the guy starts chopping things off his own body.
And if the Golden Globes are billing it as a comedy, that's not helping matters. Because
no, it isn't.
Yeah.
All right. So you're not expecting much. You're not even going to watch it for real. You're going to be at Hairspray.
I am taping it, so I'll probably watch it in about 45 minutes when I get home from Hairspray. All right. Yeah, I'm missing it.
Yeah, the red carpet, you guys, starts at 5 with E. I taped it. I'm going to have to hate watch it in the studio here because I am praying with everything I have that Laverne Cox is stopping with her questions that she's asked at the last 5 award show, which is, what is the story that your dress is telling me right now?
What is the story that one J-Lo dress that looked like it was 3 different dresses jammed together? What story is that dress telling?
That was Golden Globes for The Hustler. It was right at, you know, Golden Globes always happen the week after, like, New Year's, so she was dressed like a Christmas box. She was still with Alex Rodriguez, and that was that's the first I really remember of her getting it wrong.
Oh, you know what? I think I can Hollywood speak that dress.
Yeah.
Meaning Jennifer Lopez, am foreseeing into the future when the Oscars are going to snub me for this movie and I'm not going to get nominated. So I'm wearing my Oscar dress, my SAG dress, and my Golden Globe dress all at once.
All at once. It was
smushed
a lot.
Together.
It was a lot. All right. Listen, when we come back, now that we're done talking about the low-key nominations for the low-key Globes tonight, when we come back, let's talk a little TV. There's one movie, famous movie, that is being turned into a TV series that I want to get what your thoughts are about how this will move forward as a mini series. Famous movie starring Michael Douglas and Glenn Close.
Intriguing.
Hey, everybody. Let's go shopping for furniture at Furniture Manor. And I was sitting having coffee with Casey this morning. He's like looking at our new couch and a rug that I got. And he's like, you know what? You did really good in picking out this stuff. And I'm like, and I did really good because I had Dana and Robin helping me. When it comes to buying furniture, I want it to be as painless as possible. I do not want to drag out, what I'm going to do. I was hoping not to have to pick fabric. I was really hoping to find something on the showroom floor, and I did, and really good pricing. And but if you're somebody who you love to get into the detail, you want to pick out the perfect fabric, the right, you know, different kind of legs and, you know, all the accessories, they have that too, but it's not overwhelming. It's amazing pricing, family owned business. That's Furniture Manor, 2 miles north of 694 in County Road 81.
Right.
Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. Chris Hewitt filling in for Julia. And, of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Chris Hewitt Strip.
Can you repeat that one more time? Your mic wasn't on, but
Hewitt Strip. Sorry.
Yes. Just trying to get you some more Twitter followers.
Love it.
Love it. Okay, so Paramount Plus, you know, last week they had a very good week with Taylor Sheridan having, out of the 10 most streamed TV and movies, that three of them were Taylor Sheridan projects, Yellowstone, 1923, and Tulsa King.
Crazy.
Pretty unbelievable. So they're on fire with what they're doing, and they have a premiere date. They are doing a TV series, Fatal Attraction. It's going to premiere on Paramount on April 30th. And it's they had a Television Critics Association thing yesterday in Hollywood. And so this original series based on the 1987 psychosexual thriller starring Michael Douglas and Glenn Close will premiere with two episodes on Sunday, April 30th. And Joshua Jackson is the Michael Douglas character.
My interest is piqued.
Okay. Amanda Peet is his wife, basically the, what's her name?
Ann Archer.
And then Lizzie Kaplan is Dan's obsessed lover, played by Glenn Close in the movie, Alex Forrest. So Lizzie Kaplan.
That could be interesting.
It could be. So following the original film, Fatal Attraction will follow Dan, a man who becomes his lover's obsession following a brief affair. So reimagine the movie.
Well, and Glenn Close famously did not like the new ending, the ending we all know, that they made her reshoot later on. So maybe they're going to
redo that.
Monkey around with, some of those things, too. I could see that being a miniseries, actually. There was a whole lot going on there.
Yeah, I think so. It's going to spend more time with Alex and her point of view.
Which I think is good.
And Lizzie Kaplan is so terrific. I just love her.
Yeah, I might be coming around to this.
Yeah, okay, so that's happening. There's not a new trailer or anything. They just let us know yesterday the date is set for when that's going to air.
Definitely see Joshua Jackson in some steamy, partially closed scenes.
Yes, same here. Now, how about, did you by any chance see the Grease prequel trailer that was released in the last day about the Pink Ladies?
I did not.
Yes, the Pink Ladies is going to be on Peacock. But Grant and I watched the trailer. It looks so fun.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's the prequel. So it's basically the Pink Ladies. Is it their moms that started?
Oh, so not even Rizzo and Frenchie, but Rizzo and Frenchie's mothers.
Moms. Mm-hmm. The and prequel, there's like a lot of good people in the Pink Ladies. But who would those Pink Ladies be? Let me tell you.
This is my second Grease reference of the day. I was at a video store in Robbinsdale this morning, and I asked him, what's your most rented movie of all time? Because he's been in business for 40 years. Grease.
Grease? Really? Grease. This is the last video store renter?
Yeah, Video Universe in
Robbinsdale.
What's
it called? Video
Universe.
When's it closing?
end of May.
Oh.
They're going to liquidate their inventory before they close, but very sad.
Very,
that's totally the end of an era.
And so he said Grease is the most rented.
Yeah.
So we've got Marissa Davila as Jane.
Yeah.
Cheyenne Ensemble.
It's called Grease, Rise of the Pink Ladies. It's 10 episodes, and the teaser trailer doesn't disappoint. Jackie Hoffman is playing the principal.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Love her. She's amazing. It is the ladies, you know, they're at Rydell High. We don't know any of, like, these are all people that we don't know.
Yeah,
but
a lot of newcomers to the ladies. They're all newcomers for the most part to the acting world.
Mm-hmm. Is it a musical?
Yeah, there's going to be singing, dancing, romance, and fashion.
Yeah, choreographer Jamal Sims is handling the dancing and all the singing and stuff for the show. So it's got a big name choreographer tied to it.
It takes place 4 years before the original Grease.
Okay.
So when four fed up outcasts dare to have fun on their own terms, they create the Pink Lady group that Rizzo you know, becomes a member of it, you know, when it's her turn.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right.
So it looks really good. You got to watch the trailer, make up your own mind. But that's going to be on April 6th. Mm-hmm. That's also on Paramount Plus, not yep. Peacock.
Paramount Plus, yeah.
I mean, Paramount Plus is, they've greenlit a lot of stuff.
Since The Offer, it's been really rolling.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Peacock is probably the future home of the Golden Globe Awards.
Probably. Good point. Did you ever watch The Offer, speaking of TV shows on Paramount Plus, making of The Godfather?
No, I didn't.
Chris.
I know, but I don't have Paramount Plus.
Oh, well, but you should get
maybe
it.
Maybe should get it.
You could get Tulsa King, watch Sylvester Stallone chew up the scenery. You could watch your movie stars Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren be incredible in 1923.
And the Pink Ladies.
The Pink Lady, yeah, time, you get it.
All right.
Pamela Anderson, we get our first trailer for her. Doing her own documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Will you watch this?
Maybe. I didn't watch Pam and Tommy because I felt like, I don't know, it seemed kind of icky.
We felt icky about it,
very
too.
Icky.
We watched like 3 episodes and we stopped.
So I like that she's sort of taking matters into her own hands.
Yeah, it's going to drop on January 31st, the same day her book comes out.
Smart.
And it's called Pamela, A Love Story. So you got to love that when someone does their own documentary. But she's loving herself. Yeah. And
she's been in therapy.
And she's been in therapy. And I do 1,000% believe her when she just said, you know, how traumatic that was having that tape stolen and released. And, you know, and then she was vilified and Tommy was like glorified.
Right. And, I mean, we weren't talking about consent back then, mm-mm. but there definitely wasn't any.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Anyway, I know I will watch this show for sure.
This is on Netflix, yeah.
It's going to be on Netflix.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing is, she has such an interesting love life, you know, mm-hmm. how she gets married and not married, you know, and unmarried and all of that. But, yeah, I think talk about having age be a yoke around your neck, be a glamorous sex symbol from the 90s. You know what I mean? That would be like so hard to,
yeah,
because of how Hollywood always defines particularly mostly women.
Yeah.
By our looks, by our age, by our expiration, looking good for your age. I mean, it's never.
Right. And when you're 40, you're pretty much done. Well, what's the joke about the 3 stages of an actress's career in Hollywood? Stripper, district attorney, and Driving Miss Daisy?
Yeah, something like that.
So she's basically Driving Miss Daisy now.
Yeah, yeah. That's and awesome. I read a thing where her money, the money that, you know, like that she's already worked out, and I learned this from watching her reality show, is that the rights to her image, all her bombshell. When you think of like how beautiful she was, you know, that will be her son's to do with it. But that's where the money, I mean, that's how the Marilyn Monroe money makes the state, you know, Elvis. And so that's where she'll be worth more money when she's gone.
Interesting.
How about that?
Like a music library, but a photo library, images.
Yeah.
Right. Huh. I like that.
Yeah. And then, anyway, that's posted too. If you want to take a look at that, we'll be right back.